It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week for our weekly chat with James Shaw, Amelia Sullivan chats to the Green Party co-leader about the Greens list selection, the climate news coming out of the UN General Assembly, and a farewell to Jacinda Ardern and more. Here's that piece now.
You guys released your provisional list selection this week. Could you just talk us through the process of selecting the list and what things you guys keep in mind when making these decisions?
Certainly. So the list that we released is the view of about 150 delegates from different branches around the country. But it's actually our members that get the final say. So, you know, there are 30-something candidates there, so it's a lot for people to wade through. So this is kind of guidance. But ultimately, if our members look at that and kind of go, well, actually, I want to, you know, a different order, then they have the right to do that. So voting will begin amongst our general membership, and that will produce the final list in a couple of months.
You guys are pushing for two ticks green in some electorates, including Mount Albert, Auckland Central, Wellington Central. You guys typically just push for the party vote. So what does this say about the trajectory of the party? And do you reckon that the Greens can nab some of these seats that have long been held by the Labor Party?
We do think that we can nab some of these seats, yes. So I think we demonstrated that with Chloe Swarbrick's win in Auckland Central in 2020. You know, we've got a brilliant candidate in Chloe. It was an open seat, so there was no incumbent, you know, which can be very, very difficult to beat. And it was one of our top 10 seats in terms of our party vote around the country. And all of the places where we're looking at running, so Rongotai, Wellington Central, Mount Albert, those are similar. So they're all very strong Green Party vote seats for us. We've got great candidates and there's no incumbent, so it's an open race. And so we think that we can maybe pull it off in a few more places than just Auckland Central.
And moving on, we had some big climate news out of the UN this week. The General Assembly voted to adopt a resolution calling on the International Court of Justice to clarify what countries' international legal obligations are on climate change. What does this mean and where could this end up?
Well, New Zealand supported Vanuatu in putting that proposal up to the United Nations, and in getting that support, it now goes to the International Court of Justice, which is a really significant step in and of itself. And from our perspective here in Aotearoa New Zealand, I think it's great that we're starting to see moves in international law to really try to kind of clarify what it is that countries should be doing to reduce emissions in line with the targets in the Paris Agreement. And it's going to take a while for it to work its way through the International Court of Justice, but I am hopeful that it puts a bit more into the kind of international legal framework and makes it harder for countries to shirk their obligations as they have been over the last few years.
There was also the good news of New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions falling to their lowest levels in 8 years. Do you think we have a chance at avoiding some of the more devastating effects of climate change, or are we not yet in the clear?
Well, I think both of those things can be true. I think that there is a chance that we can stave off the worst effects of climate change, and also we are not yet in the clear. We have a lot more work to do, and of course that was just one quarter's data, so you know we really need to see that turn into a trend where you know our emissions fall every single year until we hit net zero. But it is very encouraging, and I think it shows that the policies that the government has put in place over the course of the last 5.5-6 years have started to work, and you know that has got to be a good thing.
In less good news, we heard last week that the government granted an offshore oil and gas exploration permit to Greymouth Petroleum. This is despite consensus that exploring for new reserves is incompatible with limiting warming to 1.5 degrees. As far as I can understand, the court kind of forced the government's hand on this. But given the context that we had the IPCC report a couple weeks back that says the window is rapidly closing on being able to limit warming, what do you make of this?
Well, look, I thought it was really unfortunate. When we said in 2018 that we were going to stop all future exploration for oil and gas, this particular application was already in the system. And so what they have done is they've kind of chased it through the courts, and the courts have found that because this application predated the government's decision, it has to be allowed to go ahead. But I have said any number of times that the idea that you would go looking for more sources of fossil fuels at a time when we know with absolute certainty that we cannot burn something like 85% of the oil and gas reserves that we already know about is bonkers. I mean, it's completely inconsistent with where we need to go as a country and as a planet.
And finally, today Jacinda Ardern will make her farewell speech as she prepares to leave Parliament. You guys have had a strong partnership over the past 5 or so years. How do you reflect on that time?
Well, I consider it one of the greatest honours of my life and a huge privilege to have served as Jacinda Ardern's climate change minister for 5.5 years across 2 terms of government. And, you know, as you say, we do have had a very close working relationship, and it has been a very important partnership in terms of putting in place that framework for actually finally starting to cut New Zealand's climate pollution into the atmosphere. And so I do consider it a real privilege, and I will miss her when she's gone.
That was Amelia chatting to Green Party co-leader James Shaw in their weekly chat.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.